Good morning, everybody. We want us to look today at the concept, the title of this lesson is legal versus right. And I will bring up quite often this concept in the verses that we will look at. You know, there's a lot of things in this world, in society, that we are in the midst of that society says is acceptable, legal. Some of these things like abortion. There is still instances of slavery going on in parts of the world today. People say drinking is acceptable. It's legal. Gambling. This city is built on that concept. Prostitution, for crying out loud, in parts of the state of Nevada, prostitution is legal. Legal. Now hold on to your seats for this one. The Holocaust was legal. One of the arguments at the Nuremberg trials, the biggest of the war crime trials after World War II, one of the arguments the defense had, we broke no laws. Who are you to tell us what our laws should be? And they didn't. They passed laws in the early days of Nazi Germany that those things were legal to do. At the very same time, in our country, we had the Jim Crow laws going on. It was legal discrimination, legal loopholes around prejudice. Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right. There's plenty of things in our society right now, in the society we live in, that says it's okay for X, Y, or Z. And this was the scripture that Kurt read, Isaiah 5:20. Says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The standards just get thrown topsy-turvy of what is acceptable, what is right and wrong. I remember, as long ago as it was, when I was younger, right and wrong seemed to be very clear. Society today has tried to blur those lines. Everything's acceptable. Truth for you is okay, and then there's truth for me. Basically saying everything is truth. Everything is acceptable, however you choose to look at it. In Acts 5, the apostles, Jesus has already ascended back into heaven, and they were preaching the Lord Jesus. And the religious leaders of the day took them aside and said, stop. Stop preaching in this man's name. And they said, oh, okay, sorry to offend you. No, they kept right on preaching. Like they should have, like Jesus told them to. The religious leaders brought them together again, beat them, put them in prison, put them in jail. And when they got out, they say, now don't do this anymore. Yes, sir. They got out and they kept right on preaching. They were hauled before them again. Didn't we tell you? I thought I remembered telling you not to preach in this man's name. In verse 29, it says, but Peter, of course it was Peter, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Men were saying, don't preach in his name. They were going against. They were the original counterculture people. Jesus and the apostles. We think it started in the 1960s with the hippies. They were the original counterculture. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians, and this was a concept that Sina brought up in class today that we were talking about. Paul says, now the concept he was talking about was mostly about foods offered to idols. But the concept is so much bigger than that. It is so much bigger. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul brings up this idea, just because I'm able to doesn't mean I should. And that goes for so much more than just eating meat sacrificed to idols. He would say in 1 Corinthians 8, starting in verse 8, he says, but food does not commend us to God. Think of putting in there, you fill in the blank, but blank does not commend us to God. You put your own issue in. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat we are the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. He goes on to say, for if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak, be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat again. I'll never again eat meat. Lest I make my brother stumble. There was a bigger issue than just what I'm allowed to do and what I'm not allowed to do. Paul understood it's just meat. And we're allowed to eat it. But if it makes my brother stumble, heaven forbid me doing that. And heaven forbid forcing my idea, even though I'm right, on somebody else. Throwing it in their face because of their conscience. Perfect opportunity to teach rather than shoving it in their face because we have the right to. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. It's kind of what I call a coaching moment. You know, when I was coaching and somebody missed the tackle, the grandmother in the third row figured that out. It didn't take a genius to figure this person missed the tackle. Me pointing it out just adds to the list of the people that figured that saw it. But rather, take the moment to teach them how not to miss the tackle. Instead of just bullying your way, I can do this. I have the right religiously to do X, Y, or Z. Doesn't mean it's necessarily the right thing to do. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul continues this concept in verse 23. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. And that's a good question to ask ourselves. Does it encourage our brother or sister? Does it open the door for further teaching? Or by the way we take this lawful behavior, does it slam the door to ever further teach them later to correct their understanding about an issue? Lawful but not helpful. In the first century, we had issues like circumcision, food sacrificed to idols. Also in the first century, but also applying to us today, how we're supposed to oppose unsound doctrine. We have to, but how we do it? Do we follow the scripture of standing up for doctrine, but win the argument, but lose the soul in the process? We don't want to do that. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean don't let unsound doctrine slide. Please don't hear that from me. But how we do it. Preaching against sin. There, we see examples of this in the Bible. In Romans 14, verse 15, Paul would write, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. How we go about it is as important as what we're doing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, Paul would write, abstain from every form of evil. We're not supposed to condone sin. We're not supposed to condone wrong teaching. But let's not sin in the standing up against sin, if that makes sense. Paul took this perfect opportunity. He was in Athens, and he was being led through the area, and he's noticing a temple for this, a shrine for that god, this goddess. Everywhere he looked, there was a plaque, a monument, an altar. It was on what was called Mars Hill, the god of war. And in verse 22, it says, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I thought you were smart. This is the hotbed of logic, reason, philosophy. How stupid could you be? I'm looking around at all these stupid idols. That is a waste of time. And I thought you were smart. That's not what Paul said. Paul says, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. And then he proceeded to teach them about Jesus. would Paul have been correct in how foolish idol worship and sacrificing to man-made statues designed and sculpted by man? Would he have been correct? Yes. This is ridiculous. There's one God. But that's not the way he approached it. He didn't slam the door on what he wanted to get out to them. He could have won the argument. He would have been right. But he'd have lost the people in the process. He's looking around, he says, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're very religious. You've got altars and temples for this and for that. I even notice a plaque for the unknown God. If you got a moment, let me tell you about that one." And they ate it up. They couldn't wait to hear it. What would have been legal for Paul to have done, standing against false doctrine, wouldn't have necessarily been right. It would have been legal, but not right. Paul took the right way to get his message across. In Acts 8, same thing with the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. When the eunuch asked him questions about what he was reading, he didn't say, "Well, you know, how dumb are you? You can't figure this out. It's right here in black and white." He opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Used this reference yesterday before we baptized Jason, that he understood as Sam studied with him. At one point, Jason, just like every one of us, it clicked. I need to be baptized. It did with the Ethiopian eunuch. As they're going down the road, he sees, well, here's water. Why can't I get baptized? Let's do it. He didn't start out when he was asked the question, "Well, you figure it out. I mean, you're supposed to be a man of knowledge, and you know, and you can't figure this out. You know, do they have any smart people in Ethiopia? You know, take it to somebody there." He used the opportunity. I love that sound. I love Shannon. Do not worry about it. Love that sound. Isn't that a great sound? Yes. Amen. In Matthew 10, Jesus explains to his disciples, he says, "And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet." We don't have to necessarily be a doormat. We don't have to yield to every single thing, but we don't want to close the door for future teachings. Did every religious concept that came our way, did we get it the first rattle out of the barrel? No, at least not me. There again, I'm not the brightest bulb going, but there's a lot of religious things that it took me a few times to understand. And Jesus says, don't argue with them. Shake the dust off of your feet and go on. Use your time wisely, because we're limited on time. And the older I get, the more that concept is being driven home, that we're limited on time. Go to somebody that will listen. And you've planted the seed. Maybe somebody else will come along that can teach them. In Acts 13, it says, "And the, the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the... Get this one. There's a lesson in there someplace. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. They didn't stand and go toe-to-toe with them, arguing to win the argument. You know they could have. You know they would have probably gotten stoned to death in the process, but you know Paul and Barnabas, two heavyweight hitters in the gospel, could have won the religious argument. They shook the dust and they went and took the word to Iconium and took it to people that would listen. Galatians 5, and this kind of wraps up this concept. Paul not only was teaching the people in Corinth, he was teaching this concept to the Galatians also. He says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Use that opportunity to serve, not for something sinful. The idea of legal versus right. I'm allowed to do this doesn't mean we should. You got your outline. Maybe go over some of these verses. We covered it kind of fast today. Maybe look over the verses later this week in your own private study. Hopefully it was helpful. I know it was eye-opening to me to read some of those verses. I needed to hear some of that. I needed to hear all of it. But again, mothers, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the training, the love, the nurturing that has come from you and continues to come from you, even though your babies may be grown. We thank you. If you need to respond to the invitation, we never like to leave an assembly without offering an invitation to somebody that may need to be baptized, that may need to repent of sins, that may need prayers by their brothers and sisters. If we can be of any service to you spiritually, please come forward while Michael leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing together.